Good morning. It's good to be with you. We're still in that time of the year where we have those who are visiting and those who are family in for the holidays, and I'm encouraged by your presence, and it's great to be able to come together this morning to worship God and be with Him. And if you're visiting, we're thankful for your presence as well. Before I begin, I wanted to read a note that Thelma asked me to read before I begin, so I'll read that from her. She titles it, "Oh, What a Week." This week, Tootie and I will be 87 years old. We were born within a few days of each other. I've been a Christian since I was 13 years old, and Tootie became a Christian since I've been here. It is our hope we'll be together when we go to meet our Lord. It's been a blessing. The Lord brought us together. I love her so. What a blessed week, Thelma Justice. So happy birthday to both of you this week, and we're glad that you're with us and your example has been with us for many years, and we're grateful for that. If you'll turn with me this morning to Acts chapter 26, in just a moment we will read a passage of Scripture there where the Apostle Paul stands before King Agrippa, and hopefully we can learn some admonition for our consideration this morning in looking at the life of a great man, the Apostle Paul. Of course, we know that Paul is before Agrippa, and we have in verse 28, Acts 26 and verse 28, Agrippa's well-known statement. We have a song in our songbook based on this, "Almost Persuaded," where Agrippa says, "Almost persuaded, or with little persuasion, thou wouldest fain make me a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that whether with little or with much, not thou only, but also all that hear me this day, might become such as I am, except these bonds." I want you to consider the statement that Paul makes there, "become such as I am." And I want you to think about the magnitude of that. To be able to say to someone, "be just like me," stop and think about what that would take and what that would be like to say to somebody else, "be just like me." What if after services you walked up to somebody and said, "I want you to be just like me"? That's a tall order, isn't it? Now, how was he able to say that? It wasn't because he was some superhuman. It wasn't because God gave him some special measure of the Spirit that he doesn't give us. It's because he was a dedicated Christian. And we can be just like him. But to be able to say to somebody else, "be just like I am," is impressive. And I want to consider that this morning. We're going to look this morning at the "I am" statements of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to learn about who he is at his core being. And he can say to someone else, and we need to be able to say to those around us, "become such as I am." Paul wasn't sinless. He wasn't perfect in that regard. But he had a Christian quality about him that we all need to have, where he could say to somebody else, "with little or with much, I wish that you would just become such as I am." He made one exception. "I don't want you to have the bonds that I have. I don't want you to have to undergo this mistreatment that I'm undergoing. With that exception, I want you to become such as I am." Let's consider this morning the "I am" statements of Paul. These statements show his fundamental Christian character. It's who he was at his core. It's who he was that made him different from those around him. When Paul says, "I am this" or "I am that," it is his character, his inner being and nature that had been conformed to Jesus Christ. It wasn't what other people had. For example, Paul said on one occasion, "I am a Jew." Well, that didn't set him apart. There were many Jews. That's not a big deal. On another occasion, Paul said, "I am a Pharisee." Well, that's nothing special. There were many Pharisees.
On one occasion, Paul said, "I am an apostle."
Well, there were other apostles.
What we're looking at this morning is the "I am" statements of Paul that show the kind of Christian quality and character that needs to be in all of us.
He said, "Become such as I am."
Paul was a Christian and he wanted Agrippa to be just that. Nothing more, nothing less. Let's see what kind of quality and character Paul had this morning. And let's ask ourselves, do we have these same things?
Turns me to Acts chapter 18. When Paul was in the city of Corinth and he was preaching and teaching there, he gives us our first "I am" statement. And he lets us know that he was someone who wanted the lost to be saved and did everything that he could in his power to share the gospel with others. And when he had preached in Corinth, and some didn't want that preaching, Luke records in Acts 18 and verse 6, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook out his raiment," Paul, "and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean." That's who he was as a person. He's not talking about physically clean. He goes on to say, "I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. I have shared with you everything that I can. I am not held accountable in the judgment day if you're lost. I have given you the gospel." Paul says the same thing in Acts chapter 20 when he's speaking to the elders there. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 26, he had talked about his preaching and teaching. "You know, all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom shall see my face no more. Wherefore I testify unto you this day that I am pure." It's the same as Acts 18:6. I'm clean. I am pure. What? "Of the blood, from the blood of all men, for I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God."
Who was Paul fundamentally? Someone who was innocent and pure and clean. When he talked with others, he shared the gospel with them. He did not want to be the one who was guilty for them being lost in the judgment day. And so I ask this morning, are we the same? Can we say that? I am clean. In regard to this matter of talking with others about the gospel, family, friends, co-workers, classmates, do we do what we can to share the gospel with them so that we can say, I am clean?
There have been times in my life, as I'm sure you can look back over your life and say, you know, I could have said more to that person. Turn back with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. God wants us to share the gospel with others and talk with others and give them that opportunity to hear the word of God. And like Paul, we need to be able to say each day, I am clean in this matter. I have done what I can to talk with my spouse, my children, my friends, my family, my co-workers, my classmates, my neighbors. I am clean. I've shared with them the Word of God. It's up to them now to do with it what they need to do. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 16, "It came to pass at the end of 7 days that the Word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning." Notice that God says to the wicked, but he uses us to say it. "When I speak to the wicked, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand." And that's what Paul is referring to here. He's saying, I'm innocent. Your blood is not on my hands because I've spoken to you Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Not everybody wants the gospel truth, but we've done what we can to warn them, and it's now in their hands. Is there someone that we can speak to before it's too late? We sing in our songbooks, "You never mentioned him to me." Think about those who may be standing near us in the judgment day and turning and looking at us saying, "Well, you never mentioned him to me." Let's be more like Paul, who said, "I am clean. I am a person who, when I'm in a situation, I try my best to share the gospel with those around me." We can be like Paul in that matter. Turn with me to Acts chapter 21. Paul was selfless. No matter what was going on in his life, it was always Christ first. It was always the kingdom first. Fundamentally, at his core, Paul was a selfless person. Self had been moved out of the way, and that's very hard sometimes, to move self out of the way and let Christ be in the driver's seat. And when Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem and different ones are saying things to him about the problems that are going to be there, Paul said, "What do you weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem, the same place where Jesus died, for the name of the Lord Jesus." For someone else, I'm doing this, I'm going for the name of the Lord Jesus. I am ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. It's about Him. Fundamentally, Paul was a selfless person. Are we? Can we say, "I am someone who does things for someone else"? It's hard not to think of self first. Jesus said that's one of the requirements of discipleship, to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow Him. Luke 9:23. And brethren didn't want Paul to go, and they're thinking about those types of things, but Paul is thinking selfless. So what is it that we need to do for the name of the Lord Jesus this week? Whether it's being here to worship, whether it is reading my Bible, whether it's sharing the Word of God like we just talked about, whether it's sacrificing and serving for our brethren, helping someone. Selfless. I am a person who's going to go to Jerusalem for the name of Jesus. It's going to be for Jesus. It's not about me. Paul said on another occasion, "It is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me." And it's very difficult to get self out of the way, but we can do it. Paul did it. That's who he was at his core. And that's what made him so successful as a Christian. And that's what allowed him to say to Agrippa, "Just be like me." I'm sure Paul had to grow just like any Christian. I'm sure he had to develop to that point. I'm sure he had to grow and mature to that point. But that's what he was. And that's who we need to be. What a great statement. I'm going for someone else. I'm going to suffer. And even if it means dying, it's going to be for the cause of Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 27. We're going to be wrapping up the book of Acts, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. And Paul is going to go to Rome. He's going to get on a ship and he's going to go to Rome. And he makes a statement here that we learn that Paul, at his core and fundamental, was devoted to God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 27. There's going to be this shipwreck and so forth, and Paul is going to give some instructions about remaining in the boat. And he does that because he had heard from the angel of God about some things, and he makes a statement here about his relationship with God. Acts chapter 27 and verse 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am. Some of the newer versions say, whom I belong to. An angel of God stood by me, whose I am, whom also I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar, and lo, God hath granted thee all them that sail with thee. It's another one of those statements in the book of Acts that says that Paul is being helped by God and being saved by God, but they have to do their part. But look at the statement in verse 23. An angel of God, whose I am. I belong to God. Fundamentally, at his core, Paul was devoted to God. Are we? Paul did not talk about one God of many gods that he believed in. Paul didn't talk about, he didn't say, a God that I appeal to from time to time, and then there's days that I don't. I belong to God. And I serve God. It was daily for Paul. It was a daily devotion and commitment. This wasn't something where the ship is going down and there's a problem and all of a sudden Paul, like a parachute, tries to appeal to God that he had never really served before. We need some help. Maybe there's a God up there. This was someone that he had always served. And I belong to him, the newer versions say. Whose God I am. That's who I am. I belong to him. Can we say the same? That we love God with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Matthew 22:37. I belong to God. That's who I am. Christianity is not something that I put on Sunday morning and take it off later in the day and then put it on again Sunday night or Wednesday night. That's who I am at the core of my life each and every day. And that's who you are. And I believe you are that. You don't put on religion like you put on clothes. It is who you are each and every day. And you exhibit that in your personal lives. And when we're doing things in the privacy of our home that nobody knows about, praying and reading our Bible and the private things we do that because we're just devoted. We're not doing it for if somebody can see us or if we're getting some monetary reward for it. We just do it. And you're here this morning because you're devoted to God. You could be many places. A lot of people are. They're off doing other things. But you're devoted. Paul said, I belong to God. That's who I am. And that's why he had such trust in this message from this angel. Verse 25, I believe God. Because Paul was devoted to God. Let's be the same in our life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, the scripture reading that we had.
Paul, at his core, was someone who got up each day with a fundamental care and concern for the lost.
In Romans chapter 1, he writes that I am debtor, meaning I am bound, I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. When we see the English word barbarian, we think of, I don't know what we think of. Conan the Barbarian? I don't know what you're thinking of. But I think of these, you know, these wild, crazy guys that are beating up people. That's not what is going on here. The word means someone who's speaking something other than Greek. It's not talking about their wild, lawless behavior. But anybody that's not a Greek-speaking person, in other words, I want to take the gospel to all people. But the point in verse 14 that I want to focus on is, I am debtor. I am someone who always feels obligated and bound to take the gospel to others. My care and my concern for them is so great that that's what dictates who I am as a person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22, Paul said, I am become all things to all men.
When Paul says, I am something, that means who he is each day. He doesn't get up one day and he's not that. That's who I am. And fundamentally, I am debtor. When he became a Christian, he viewed himself as someone who was bound always to try to save others and do what he can to become all things to all men in that regard.
Are we like that? Fundamentally caring and concerned for others, and you feel obligated to do it. Do we ever feel obligated or bound to help our brother? The church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25, Paul talks about the members have the same care one for another. Do we have a fundamental care for each other? Do we look at each other in the Warfield congregation and we see each other face to face and we say, I am obligated to do what I can to be caring to them and concerned for them? Paul felt that bound. Some versions say debtor. When you're in debt to the bank, you're obligated to make those payments. When you're in debt to the mortgage company, you're obligated to make those monthly payments. You're bound to do that by contract. That's how Paul viewed his life. He didn't view it as optional or I might do it or I might not do it. I am bound. And that needs to be our approach in life. And with that approach, we'll help each other better. That care and that concern will be there, not just for the lost, but for our own brethren, where we feel indebted to go the second mile. We feel indebted to bear one another's burdens. We feel indebted to love and serve one another. That needs to be our fundamental character. In the same passage, look at Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul was always fundamentally ready and prepared. I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are at Rome. The gospel is not just for the lost, it's also for the saved. There were saints in Rome and they needed the gospel too. But Paul says, I am ready. Key in on the word ready. Paul was fundamentally someone who got up each day and was prepared to be used in Christ's service. Do you remember the Minuteman of the Revolutionary War? Do you remember the Minuteman? Do you remember why they were called the Minutemen? They were ready in a minute. They plowed. They were out in the field plowing. And remember the old picture of the Minuteman with the rifle over his shoulder? He's plowing and he had the rifle over his shoulder. Ready to go to battle. We need to be Christians who are fundamentally ready each and every day and prepared for every good work. And we're not saying, give me time to get ready. We're not saying, let somebody else do that. We're not saying, I let brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I am ready to serve in the Warfield Boulevard congregation. Man or woman, young or old. Ready. Paul used his former education to get ready. Paul used his time right after becoming a Christian. He went off into Arabia for a while. He's receiving the gospel from Jesus, Galatians 1. He's using that time, I believe, to get ready. He's preparing himself. He's using his time wisely to ready himself.
Let us be those kinds of Christians today.
Ready to make that visit. Ready to have that home Bible study. Ready to work in and out of the church building. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18 that we need to be ready to distribute and share with others. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, we're to be ready unto every good work. Young people, be preparing yourselves now to serve Christ and to serve in the church. Use your time now to ready yourself. Prepare yourself. Use your college education and your secular education to develop your mind and your body in a way that you can be servants of Christ. We're going to need you later in life in the church. When you look around and see these older gray-haired members and they've passed and they've gone on, we're going to need you to step up and teach the Bible class and preach and serve and be elders and deacons and those types of things. The other day I went by one of the fire stations here in Clarksville. When you go by a fire station, what do you typically see when you go by? The doors are up, right? Unless it's just really bad inclement weather. The doors are up, right? And what do the fire trucks look like? They all have what? Their doors are open. Doors are open and the boots are right there. You ever seen that when you go by a fire station? The garage doors are up. The fire truck has their doors open. The boots are right there. What is that saying? They're ready to get after it. When that alarm is pulled, they're ready to get after it. And that's the way we need to be for Christ, and that's the way Paul was fundamentally. We're ready to give an answer, 1 Peter 3:15. Not, I don't know, I don't know my Bible, I don't know what the Scriptures teach, but ready to give an answer. Use our Bible classes and our sermons and our daily Bible reading to ready ourselves in understanding the Word of God so that we can share that with others. Ready. That was Paul. That needs to be us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, just coming on down the very next verse. I am not ashamed of the gospel. When Paul talks about what I am, he's talking about what he is fundamentally as a Christian. And we need to add to the list that he was fundamentally convicted and persuaded and confident. I am not ashamed of what the gospel teaches. And we're living in a climate today where there's more and more people who are belittling and bad-mouthing the gospel and what it stands for. And we need to stand up and be confident and be convicted and not be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And he goes on to say why. It is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel does not condone some things that society condones. And we're going to stand for that. And we're not going to be ashamed of that. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. That's who I am. I'm a defender of the gospel. That's not just for preachers. That's not just for elders. Every one of you Christians here this morning, go out and be set for the defense of the gospel. Defend it. Stand there and defend it with all your might. And when somebody belittles it, we don't retaliate, but in a nice way, we defend what the Word of God teaches. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, where Paul said again, I am not ashamed. Young Christians, don't ever be ashamed. When you're at school, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of who you are in Jesus Christ and the gospel. Don't ever be ashamed of that. And when people are poking fun at that, so be it. But you be confident and you be convicted and you stand up for what is right. And look at what Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For which cause I suffer also. these things, yet I am not ashamed. Why, Paul? For I know him whom I have believed. The more we know, the less we are ashamed. The more we know, the less we are ashamed. Know your Bible. Know the evidences for God and Jesus and the resurrection and the Word of God and all of those things. Knowledge gives us confidence and it removes being ashamed. I know Him whom I have believed. I am persuaded that He is able to guard that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And then the very next thing Paul says to Timothy is, because I'm confident and I know, and I'm not ashamed, you need to hold fast the pattern of sound words. In verse 14, you need to guard through the Holy Spirit what's been committed unto you. He's passing that confidence on to Timothy. Be a person who is fundamentally convicted for the truth. Don't let someone bowl you over. Don't let someone walk all over you spiritually. Don't let someone poke fun of the Word of God. Stand for truth. Stand for what is right. Be able to say, I am not ashamed. And Peter says that not being ashamed as a Christian, that's the very thing that glorifies God. And that's what we want each and every day. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Paul says, and I believe in a text of Scripture where he's talking about his life in the law before becoming a Christian, Paul showed his humility and his openness and his honesty with regard to any sin that is in his life. You know, it's hard to find a humble person anymore. Someone who's willing to say, I've sinned, I was wrong, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. It's hard to find that anymore. But there were times in Paul's life where he admitted what he was. I believe this is a section talking about his life under the law before becoming a Christian. And in verse 14, he just simply says, I am carnal. Sold under sin. Look at verse 24. O wretched man that I am. Again, his life before becoming a Christian. This is who I am. I'm willing to admit it. And I need Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus delivered him from that wretched state. Verse 25. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul the Apostle. Paul humbly admits that he's nothing without the grace of God. I am the least of the apostles that I am meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. He was humble. And we need to be humble. He was honest. He humbly admits who he is as a person. In 1 Timothy 1:15, I am the chief of sinners. Can we just honestly and openly, humbly admit who we are in the sight of God? That humility is what Jesus said we need to enter into the kingdom, to humble ourselves like a little child. That's how we enter into the kingdom, Matthew 18. And if we'll humble ourselves, God will exalt us. But God resists the proud. He does. But He gives grace to the humble. And when there's something in our life that is amiss, just admit that and work to change it. Open honesty and humility is a much needed quality and characteristic today. And Paul was able to say that on those occasions when he needed to say that. Paul was sacrificial. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17, Paul talks about himself as a sacrifice, if you'll turn with me there. We need to be sacrificial. Paul viewed his life like that Old Testament sacrifice that was offered up to God. His life was not dear to himself. His life was not selfish. He was willing to to spend and be spent. He was willing to give himself. And he says in Philippians 2 and 17, I am offered. I am offered. Literally, I am a poured out drink offering. That's who I am. My life each day is a drink offering. It's an offering to God that is poured out. And the same thing in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. I am offered. Do you view your life, do I view my life as a living sacrifice to God? Romans 12, 1. A living sacrifice. We're not going to hold anything back for the Lord's service. We're going to give more. Whether it's monetary giving on the first day of the week or just giving our time, giving our talents, giving ourselves to the Lord's service. Can we be more sacrificial? And just say, I'm an offering. That's who I am. I'm God's offering. Different scriptures. Hebrews 13, 16. 1 Peter 2, 5 talks about our lives as Christians as an offering. Let's view ourselves that way and be more like Paul. And then last of all, one last I am of Paul. In Philippians chapter 4, if you'll turn with me there. Paul said, I am content. Paul fundamentally was a person who lived a contented life of service to Christ. Not discontent. Not complaining and arguing and murmuring and selfish and spoiled. But Paul said, no matter what state I'm in, whether I'm abounding, things are going great, or abased, I am content. That's who I am in character. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound in everything, and in all things have I learned the secret, both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Verse 11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. I am in a state of contentment. That's who I am. Because his life did not revolve around if the weather was good or bad, if his health was good or bad, if he had money or not, if he had clothing or not. His life revolved around serving Christ. That's why later in verse 18, he says, I am filled. That's who I am. A content person. Let's be the same. Let's be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So much today, you see discontent. I wonder if much of it comes from people who are spoiled. But discontent, always murmuring and complaining about something. Let's just be happy. And content with such things as we have. Hebrews 13:5. Be content with such things as we have. And be happy with that. Not always looking for more. Not always wanting something else. Not always upset at the state that we find ourselves in. Whatever state, Paul said, I'm a content person. That's who he was. Let's be Paul. On another occasion, Paul said, be imitators of me. Let's imitate these qualities. To be able to say to someone else, become such as I am. What a beautiful thing that is. Free from the blood of all men. Selfless, devoted, caring and concerned, always ready and prepared, convicted, never ashamed. Humble, honest, sacrificial, and content. Let's go out and say to others, this is who I am as a servant of Christ. And I would ask you to become such as I am. And if we need to make any changes in our life so that we can honestly say to someone, just be like I am. Let's make those changes while we can. We're going to stand and sing the song of encouragement. We would encourage you to come. If you need to put on Christ in baptism, we would encourage that. As an erring child of God, if you have not been what you need to be, we would encourage you to come back and we can pray together with you for that. But let's go out and be those fundamental characteristics that guided Paul. Let's have those things guide us this week. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?